On the Stage Show, it's time for the next in our high school playlist series. High school is where most of us have our first encounter with Shakespeare. And today we lay our scene in Fair Verona. A moment of love, a dream, a laugh, a kiss, a cry, our rights, our wrongs. A moment of love, a dream, a laugh, a moment of love, a dream, a laugh. Just baby, stop me coming over. Young love. Today, William Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, in which a pair of star-crossed lovers take their life, whose misadventured, piteous overthrows doth with their death bury their parents' strife. So imagine you're studying Romeo and Juliet in Year 12, as many students are across Australia. How do we get beyond the clichés of this play to find fresh ideas and insights into it? Adam Davey is the head of English at Kelvin Grove State College in Brisbane. Hello, Adam.
Hello, Michael.
And with you there in our Brisbane studios are senior students Hugo Russell. G'day, Hugo.
Hello.
And Milana Baraklafanesic.
Hello.
And we're also joined by Todd McDonald, who's the artistic director of La Boite Theatre Company in Brisbane. He's the director of their new production of Rom and Jewel. Good morrow, Todd.
Good morrow. How art thou?
I be well. I be in fine fettle.
Good.
Adam, I've been reading about your school. You people go to extremes in your worship of Shakespeare. Tell us about the connection between the school and Shakespeare.
Oh, Michael, I think worship might be a tad strong, but we certainly are enthusiastic about Shakespeare and his works and his contribution to our educational journey, I suppose. And some of the things we do, we obviously work with Shakespeare a lot in our school and have the students take on things such as, or projects such as the Bad Shakespeare initiative, which I'm certain Hugo or Milena might fill you in a little bit more on in a moment.
Milena was laughing there delightedly. Milena, yes, tell us about the Bad Shakespeare initiative.
Bad Shakespeare initiative is probably the highlight of my year every year. Basically, for our school's open day, a group of us from the English department dress up in Elizabethan-style clothing, and it's our duty to spend the afternoon causing mayhem throughout the school, Shakespearean mayhem, and just like advertising.
You declare war on Scotland, do you? Or
yeah, and we'll like poke fun at some visitor's child in Shakespearean and then follow it up with like, oh, yes, please come to our school.
Right. Well, there's certain mixed messages there.
Adam,
no, they love it. The public give us great feedback on what they do, and they think it's a lot of fun.
They lap up the iambic pentameter. Now, is it right that you've also been on a Shakespearean tour of England, Adam?
That's correct, yes. So at the end of 2018, we actually took 26 students over to the UK on a journey to explore various Shakespearean sites and work with some artistic directors from the Royal Shakespeare Company as well as the Globe. And yeah, I think that both of the students here with us today, Hugo and Milena, were a part of that. And my feedback that I've received from them is that it's been a tremendously exciting opportunity for them, and they've
Adam, of course you would say that. Let's hear from them. Hugo. Mm.
Hugo. Yes. Well, one of the most memorable experiences over the UK tour was the opportunities we had to first view some of Shakespeare in theatre. I particularly enjoyed our opportunity to see Macbeth at the Globe, and then workshop some of that as well through the Globe's educational facility.
Did you go backstage at the Globe?
Yes, we certainly did. Yeah. And we also we unpacked the goings-on behind Shakespearean theatre and how it's put together and how we ourselves could take on some of that in our own both acting and writing.
Milena, did you get to stand on the stage and imagine what it's like or feel what it's like to address the groundlings?
Yep, and we were also given the opportunity to scream at the top of our lungs, out damn spot, out I say, into the empty seats. And yeah, you bet I really went full out with that.
I thought it was bad luck to quote Macbeth at the theatre, but there you go. They don't hold with that at the Globe. Yes, I've stood on that stage. It's terribly exciting, isn't it? You just feel that the absolute sense, the common sense, the great sense of the theatre being made like that. Adam, you often hear people say that they hated Shakespeare at school, that school destroyed Shakespeare for them. Were you in that group as a kid?
I don't think I was in that group, Michael, but I certainly came away from my high school experience with ambivalence towards Shakespeare and a sense of lost opportunity. And I think that's driven my own personal mission to try to connect as many students as I can to Shakespeare and help them to appreciate it on their own terms. Yeah.
What does that mean, on their own terms?
Well, I think what has allowed Shakespeare's works to continue to resonate across the ages is really the personal connection that any individual can make with that text. There's no one universal message that a student needs to unpack or try to find the secret ingredient that allows them to finally understand what it truly means, so to speak, but rather to gain a sense of understanding that these texts are so rich in cultural meaning that there's really, I won't say an infinite number of ways, but there's so many ways that an individual can connect with aspects of the text and to take something meaningful away from it that is theirs.
Yes. It seems to me, if I can just editorialise here, that it's ridiculous to examine people on Shakespeare. It would be better just to let them be creative and, you know, come up with novel ideas. You know, people are always told when you're looking at an exam, try to think what the examiners want. Whereas we said to students, try and think what the examiners don't expect. Surprise them.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's... I've got some nodding heads here in the room, it's a political minefield and there is a whole lot of cultural capital tied up in Shakespeare in particular.
I know. What about you, Todd? Did you study Shakespeare at school?
Yeah, I loved Shakespeare at school. I was lucky I had a great English teacher, and I think the individuals and the individual's approach to it is, I think, critical. I think the thing that grabbed me was the poetry. It was that kind of infinite capacity to sort of see, oh my God, it's going to mean so many different things and have so many different resonances. I walked away from it loving it. And then when I got into drama school, it was one of the only things that I really wanted to do. Ironically, I really didn't get to do much of it when I was at drama school, but it was certainly high on my list of things to keep attacking as an actor, because you very rarely get a chance to work with language like that.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because in Britain, in most drama schools in Britain, Shakespeare is the kind of backbone of it all, whereas in Australia that's less the case. And I do think Australian actors have trouble getting their mouths around the music and precision of Shakespearean language, because the Australian accents are, most of them, fairly sort of casual. So you're directing Romeo and Juliet at La Boite. How are you trying to make it fit in the mouths of the actors? What are you looking for?
Well, just work. Keep working your mouths. That's one of the big things we keep talking about in the notes, is getting more muscular with the language.
Yeah.
And really, you know, it's a very physical production as well. So there's lots of fights and lots of ensemble work. So half the notes I'm giving to Mercutio and to Romeo and Juliet are about get your mouths as physical and muscular as your bodies are in the work, and embody the text more. I mean, we are sort of conditioned also in, I think, actor training, in the way we look at acting, to think that it's a head alone situation, and we forget about the body and the physicality and how it can sort of completely embody you on the stage. And you need to do it in theatre anyway. I think that's part of the beauty of seeing work. Yeah,
you
alive.
Need to act from your toes to the top of your head. I'd love you to be part of this conversation. Do tell us how you fell in love with Shakespeare, if you did. Maybe something put you off Shakespeare. And do you have any advice for young people, especially, who are trying to find their way into the language, or to actors who are trying to find their way into the language or the themes of Shakespeare? You can send me an email or a voice memo to artsonrn@abc.net.au. That's artsonrn@abc.net.au. This is The Stage Show, and I'm Michael Cathcart, and we're talking about, Romeo and Juliet, because it's being studied in Year 12. Todd, you're directing this for La Boite there in Brisbane. It's a savage edit you've done, 90 minutes.
Well, we haven't quite got there yet. We're aiming for 90, but I think we'll end up with like 1 hour 40, 1 hour 45, because you don't want to cut the heart out of it.
No.
But what we did want to do is cut the interval out of it, so that we get the roller coaster structure of the work, and we really get the sense that this crazy story has happened over 3 days, that literally they went to the party on Sunday and by Thursday they're all dead and buried and gone. Yeah. So it's that's the kind of energy that we were after. And I felt like for a contemporary audience, we want to be able to drive that through and keep people completely engaged the whole time. At the moment in rehearsal, it felt like on Saturday, the run felt like it took a week. I'm trying to edit it down a little bit more just to get it to feel like it's happening over 3 days.
Well, this production is in partnership with QUT, the Queensland University of Technology, their Creative Industries Department. It includes final year students in the cast. Darcy Gooder, you're one of those. Welcome to the show. You play Juliet. Darcy, who is your Juliet?
My Juliet is headstrong and determined, and as many young people today, very resourceful and capable. And I think that can be something that's often forgotten in Romeo and Juliet, that they're just two young kids that are, you know, silly, in love and fickle. But she is determined and very, very strong, and that is my Juliet.
Yeah, she's strong in that she's prepared to defy her parents. Is that where the strength is showing itself?
Yes, and to go after what she believes in and what she loves.
Yeah, which is Romeo. So, Jack Bannister, you're Romeo. Who's your Romeo?
Passionate, loving. He's so connected with his feelings, which I think is such an amazing thing and an awesome thing to see on stage, is someone who really lives what they feel, and he doesn't deny anything. He's a lover by nature, and that's kind of what drives him through the play.
How are you thinking through his relationship with his mates? Because his mates like to sort of kid around and play with swords and kill each other, and he's kind of lost faith or interest in that sort of hooning around stuff because he's genuinely fallen in love. How are you thinking through that, the two sides of him?
Yeah, those scenes are so much fun. It's such a nice kind of dynamic that Shakespeare's written between, especially those three, Benvolio, Mercutio and Romeo, is that, you know, you've got Mercutio on one end, fine, you're a lover, you know, get over it. And Romeo's on the other end of the spectrum. And then there's Benvolio kind of as a middleman trying to equalize things. So yeah, it's a really lovely dynamic that we're kind of finding and playing with.
Yeah, well, the subtitle is Kids Killing Kids, so it's got a chilling subtext to it all. Let's have a scene. What are you going to perform for us, Darcy?
We are going to do the first meeting scene at the party.
If I profane with my unworthiest hand this holy shrine, the gentle sin is this. My lips, two blushing pilgrims, ready stand to smooth that rough touch with a tender kiss.
Good pilgrim, you do wrong your hand too much, which mannerly devotion shows in this. For saints have hands that pilgrims' hands do touch, and palm to palm is holy palmer's kiss.
Have not saints lips and holy palmers too?
Aye, pilgrim, lips that they must use in prayer.
Ah, then, dear saint, let lips do what hands do. They pray. Grant thou, lest faith turn to despair.
Saints do not move, though grant for prayer's sake.
Then move not, while my prayers effect I take. Thus from my lips, by thine, my sin is purged.
Then have my lips the sin that they have taught.
Sin from my lips? Oh, trespass sweetly urged. Give me my sin again.
You kiss by the book.
What a lovely way to kiss. Romeo and Juliet, played by Jack Bannister and Darcy Gooder, in La Wap Theatre Company's new production. And we're looking at Shakespeare's famous tragedy as part of our high school playlist series with director Todd McDonald, the head of English at Kelvin Groves State College, Adam Davey, and senior students Hugo Russell and Milena Baraclough-Nesick. Hugo and Milena, when you're reading a Shakespeare play, what are you looking for? Are you looking for a play that reflects your own experiences? Are you saying, yeah, I can relate to that? Or are you looking for a play which takes you into other worlds and other times and other passions?
Yeah, I think it's quite easy to get caught up with some of the flowery language that we're not used to hearing and distancing ourselves from the text. But it's definitely important to, you know, keep in mind that most of the concepts that are in these plays, love and anguish and miscommunication, are still completely relevant to us. And I always find it quite effective when reading and studying a Shakespearean text to imagine these characters as being contemporary people. And when we're studying these texts in class, we often might read together and assign characters to each other, which then in turn kind of gives us the opportunity to imagine the characters as the people that we know as our classmates.
What about you, Milan? I mean, I know you've looked at this play, but you've also looked at, is it Macbeth you were looking at, did you say?
Macbeth, Hamlet, A Midsummer Night's Dream, a few.
Well, you know, there are lots of young women in two of those plays. In Hamlet, there's Ophelia, and you've got lots of young lovers in Midsummer Night's Dream. Do you find yourself relating to those, or do they feel as though they're coming from a different world, a different planet?
I think it's a bit of both, and I think that's why I like Shakespeare as much as I do, because I love to have that sort of escapism when I'm reading his work. But for me to enjoy it, you know, it also needs to have like this point where I can relate to the characters that I'm reading about. So, yeah, it's a mix of both.
And what do you find, Adam, as the teacher? What do students react to most in the play?
Look, I think that there's a point in there working through the play, there's always this moment of surprise that, oh, this isn't just an archaic text from 400 years ago. These people are going through things that I understand. I can totally relate with the family breakdown or the mistrust between this character and that character. And so I think that what we find is if you can break down some of those barriers, that these misconceptions, then their way into their understanding of these plays becomes, as I said earlier, more personal for them.
To me, it's not just about families, which is the famous conflict, you know, between a Capulet or a Montague. It's also about blokiness. Do students reflect on that?
Well, I think in the 2019 landscape, the notion of, I guess, toxic masculinity and its cousin, the Me Too movement, there is a fair bit of concern amongst the younger people around gender expectations and behavioural patterns associated with those, whether they're good or bad. And certainly a play like Romeo and Juliet does play into a conversation around how these men do interact, particularly at the beginning of the play, and that toxic violence that you can almost feel coming from the page in the conflicts between, you know, Tybalt and Mercutio, and that long-running feud. So, yeah, I think that there is a tendency to see in those scenarios something of a 2019 zeitgeist coming through as well, yeah.
So, Milana, as a fan of Shakespeare, what are you curious to know about Lavoisier's production?
Well, I have tickets. Like, I'm actually coming to see it.
Amazing.
Yes. I really enjoy conversational Shakespeare as an audience member because it helps me to understand some lines where I may not be able to quite understand what Shakespeare's going on about off the top of my head. What path did you guys take?
Yeah, I'm like you. I tend to like it to sound more conversational than it does sort of passionate. But I think through this process especially, I've realised that it can only be so conversational because, like you said, it is so different to how we speak mm-hmm. that if you speak it the way that we speak, it won't make sense. And if you speak it the way that it's kind of meant to be spoken, then it'll make sense. And the language is so huge that you are kind of permitted to go that big with it as well because it is so massive. Like any other words, it would be weird to say, but because it is so massive, I think you can afford to lean off that conversational tone a little bit. But yeah.
Yeah, and the language is so huge because the situations are so heightened and these characters are going through these crazy, almost unfathomable experiences, and they have to use these, you know, this passionate language to get across what they're feeling because they need those words to express it.
Yeah.
Because I love conversational Shakespeare, but I think there needs to be a duality between that and then having this muscularity and this heightened language to really express, you know, the crazy rollercoaster of emotions of what they're experiencing.
Yeah.
Then would you be more conversational in more of the intimate moments where it isn't like necessary for you to heighten your like vocal performance?
There's a bit of a mix between all of it. And what we've found is that as with any Shakespeare that you're learning to perform, if you understand or if you've done your research on every word in every line that you're doing, and then you have a look at the amount of options you have to play in there, the choice within the option of how to play the word or play the idea or the set of ideas within a line or a certain section of the writing will determine whether it's relatable to you. So mm-hmm. people will, you know, if depending on how you interpret the word fane or how you interpret different types of words, will determine how sort of relatable it is, I think. And so people, you know, different actors have made different choices in different areas, which I think has created a mixture of making it completely relatable as well. So my notes at the moment are about saying, I don't understand what you mean there. Mm-hmm. And so I'm asking the actors to actually find something, a way that they can relate to it so that comes across to the audience.
Thank you to all of you for coming in. This has been such a fabulous conversation. And all of the best with your studies there, Milena and Hugo.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Thanks to Adam Davey, who's the head of English at their school, and to Todd McDonald, who's directing the production for La Boite with Darcy Gooder, and she's Juliet, and Jack Bannister is playing Romeo. That production runs from the 25th of May to the 15th of June, and I'd love to know what you made of that conversation. What advice do you have for students of Shakespeare or to actors of Shakespeare? Send me an email or a voice memo to artsonrn@abc.net.au. That's artsonrn@abc.net.au. And let me know what play you reckon we should cover next in our high school playlist series. What play are you or someone near to you studying in year 12 would you like us to talk about? I'm Michael Cathcart. This is The Stage Show.